We're sticking with this topic with our next guest. Dan Roberts, Decrypt editor-in-chief and friend of the show, joins us now. Dan, always great having you on. I want to pick up with what Alexandra was discussing in terms of hedge funds increasingly at least signaling their intention to get into crypto. And one of the things that EY found in its report was that regulatory clarity will likely be the major milestone for investment managers warming up even more to this space going forward. Now, we talk a lot about regulation in broad strokes, but what specifically do you think traditional asset management firms would want to see in terms of regulation to be more comfortable with these investments?
Well, first of all, Emily, when you say that EY says that regulatory clarity will bring more groups in, I mean, that's if we get regulatory clarity. I mean, the biggest story of the year in crypto has been regulation, but mostly if you drill down, the regulation that hasn't come yet. From the SEC and many other agencies, which have spent years jockeying to determine who even gets to regulate crypto, there's still a lot of opaque guidance. There are things that certain politicians have said that basically just amount to, we're concerned, we're scared about crypto, we're concerned about stable coins and what they might do to the financial system. Elizabeth Warren, sees crypto as being shadowy super coders. All of this has amounted to uncertainty. Now, that said, in the last 2 weeks, we saw hearings in Congress and the Senate on the topic of crypto and stablecoins. And that alone, I think, has made institutions more confident. You know, I recently spoke to Joe Lubin, who is a co-founder of Ethereum and the CEO of Consensus at Miami at a live event. And he said on stage that institutions are flocking to DeFi and adopting crypto more than ever before because they are FOMOing at the mouth to get in. Now, I thought that went a little far, but the point here is big banks and hedge funds, as you guys were just discussing, have been sitting on the sidelines for years. Now they're getting in because at least the fact that we're talking about regulation and the fact that we think more regulation is coming is encouraging to them. They want to see guardrails and safeguards and, more signposts that will allow them to feel like they can trade crypto on behalf of customers safely.
Dan, I'm going to let you pick. I think it's great that you've got Gary Gensler as Decrypt's Person of the Year. But when you have Jack Dorsey and Elon Musk going after Andreessen Horowitz in Web3, that's like Godzilla versus King Kong and Gamera. So you pick, because personally, the Jack Dorsey fight with Andreessen Horowitz is that's really wonderful.
Well, quickly, Adam, I'll give the Gensler pick just one or two sentences. We did announce our Decrypt Person of the Year today. And while other people, news outlets have really focused on SBF, that's Sam Bankman-Fried, the CEO of FTX, which has grown a ton. They've picked Elon Musk. Time Magazine named Elon Person of the Year. We think it's Gensler. And Person of the Year doesn't mean that he's been great for crypto. In many ways, he's been the villain of the crypto industry all year. But he is the most significant figure moving forward for the future of crypto, not just in the U.S., because other countries, in many cases, are going to either benefit or take cues from what the U.S. does. So we did today name Gary Gensler our Person of the Year for 2021, and everyone should head to Decrypt to read the full profile. Now, let's get into Jack and Web3. I mean, Jack Dorsey isn't wrong in this rant he went on yesterday on Twitter that Web3 has become in some ways a meaningless buzzword. Now, of course, in crypto, when people talk about Web3, they are talking about something very real, the next phase of the internet that uses blockchain and uses crypto tokens to power all kinds of protocols and platforms and liquidity pools. But now Web3 has already been sort of beaten so much that it's become a meaningless buzzword and it's become something that people are mocking. Now, keep in mind here, the most important thing viewers should understand, Dorsey is a Bitcoin maximalist. That means he likes Bitcoin and nothing else. To him, there is only one God in crypto, and that God is Bitcoin. That means all the things that come from Ethereum, that's DeFi, decentralized finance, the NFT boom, and lots of other tools and protocols, he's not interested in those. So when he talks about making fun of Web3, that's because Web3 is really something that uses ETH as its kind of underpinning. And when he talks about VCs controlling it, he's talking about one firm in particular, Andreessen Horowitz, A16Z. So Elon Musk joined in with Dorsey's take, and quickly these A16Z and other VCs rushed to defend themselves.
Hey, Dan, you quoted him because Dorsey actually said Bitcoin will replace the dollar, not crypto, Bitcoin.
Exactly. I mean, it's still remarkable to me, Adam. I've covered Bitcoin since 2011. There's still so much that is tribal. And I think that that's so, surprising. I mean, at this point, how can you be either or? How can you think only one part of this is interesting? We think it's all interesting. Bitcoin, Ethereum, meme coins, DeFi projects, NFTs. It's all fascinating. A lot of it is here to stay, maybe not all of it. But Dorsey is just one example. There's so many people who think, you know, I'm only interested in Bitcoin, nothing else. There are also ETH maxis who think Ethereum is so much better. It's got so many more use cases. We've moved beyond Bitcoin. Bitcoin at this point is just an investment that you buy and hold. So still a lot of tribalism in this industry. And I love covering it.
Well, Dan, real quick, you talked about NFTs and things here to stay. And I also want to get to one other story that's been top of mind right now. Ubisoft continuing its video game NFT initiative, even though they've been getting some pushback here from fans. Why is Ubisoft moving forward with this? And what specifically are fans pushing back on here?
Well, so guys, Ubisoft is only the most recent example of a company or project that suddenly finds itself stepping into this clash between gamers and NFTs. And there's an irony here, as it has emerged that hardcore gamers, not all of them, but many, do not like crypto or NFTs. They think NFTs are stupid. They think it's a cash grab. They've heard vaguely that NFTs are bad for the environment. And the irony is that there are many interesting NFT projects where gaming is the whole point. Metaverse games, where the NFT is your ticket or your game piece. So NFTs and gaming are converging more than ever before, but a lot of traditional gamers do not like it. Discord saw this when Discord, the popular chat app, teased an integration with MetaMask, the Ethereum wallet. Then people got so angry and threatened to cancel their Discord Nitro subscriptions. Discord said, never mind. And then Stalker 2, an upcoming video game, also had to walk back its NFT plans. Ubisoft has said it's going to implement in-game NFTs in the next Ghost Recon game, and a lot of people are angry, but Ubisoft is not walking it back. In a new interview, their head of blockchain basically told Decrypt, we hear the encouragement and we hear the critics, and we're taking this very seriously and we're being careful, but they're moving forward with doing in-game NFTs. So this clash is not going to go away. It's really interesting, and we'll see if gamers eventually warm to in-game NFTs or not.
All right, Dan Roberts, Decrypt editor-in-chief, thank you so much as always.